17 this evening, Exodus chapter 17. And if you were with us this morning, I kind of gave a segue at the end of the message into the message this evening. It's not really a part one, part two, but it serves as, and certainly could be, a part one, part two. Of course, as we look at Exodus 17, we've skipped a few events that have taken place since the event that we looked at this morning in Exodus chapter number 14. But this morning we were challenged by the instruction that God provided to His servant Moses to deliver to the children of Israel. And that instruction was found in Exodus 14 and verse number 15, when the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." And we dealt with the truth of the importance of going forward. We asked four questions this morning as we looked at that passage of Scripture. We asked this question: why do we go forward? Well, we go forward as a matter of obedience because the Lord has instructed us to go forward. How do we go forward? We go forward by faith. The just shall live by faith, and we believe that God is able to do what God said He would do. We then ask this question: what hinders us from going forward? We know that we've been instructed to go forward, and we know how we're to go forward, but the reality is that there are times in our lives, no doubt, even as the children of Israel would experience in events that would take place in their history, where we are hindered from going forward, the doubts and the fears and the obstacles and the influence, and we looked at those things. And then we asked the final question this morning: what happens when we go forward? And very simply, we get to see the Lord work. And what a blessing to see God work, to see God do what only God can do. And the children of Israel, they went forward and they got to see God perform miraculous work in dividing the Red Sea and keeping the Red Sea parted and, of course, overthrowing the enemy. And they rejoiced greatly in the 15th chapter of the book of Exodus. In fact, the Bible begins in the 15th chapter, and it says, "They sang, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt Him." And we find that as you go through the 15th chapter, they're singing and they're triumphing. In verse 21, it says that Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea." And I mean, they're rejoicing. And we get to see God work. And we said this, that our faith too would be increased. I mentioned this morning at the close of the service that oftentimes our faith is increased through times of difficulty, through obstacles. And we find that it's in those times in which our faith is often increased. There are really the misunderstanding that many have that is, if we follow God, if we are obedient to God, if we're living by faith, if we go forward as we've been instructed to do so, then we'll have no problems. There'll be no difficulties, there'll be no obstacles, no opposition. Everything will be just perfect. It's not that way. You come to the end of the 15th chapter, as I mentioned this morning, and the Bible tells us that they found no water, and then they went a little further and they went to Marah, and the waters there were bitter and they could not drink those waters. The first obstacle that the children of Israel faced after they went forward, after they obeyed the Lord, after in obedience and by faith they did what God told them to do, they were not hindered, they went forward and they found themselves facing this obstacle. The reality is that when we face obstacles in life, we must understand really two things before we get to the 17th chapter. I would say this: the obstacles that the children of Israel faced and the obstacles that we face are known by God. They're known ahead of time by God. And I would say this: He has a purpose for them. God was the one that led the children of Israel out of Egypt land. In the Old Testament, in this particular era, we find that the nation of Israel, they were led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And we find that as God would provide them with leadership, even as we sang the song this evening, follow on, follow on, and we find that they would follow God, that there were times in which as they followed God, He led them directly into a time of testing, a time of faith building. We find that these obstacles in which we deal with, the obstacles in which the children of Israel would face, these obstacles we must understand and recognize that they're known by God and that they have a purpose. They have a purpose. Let me say this. Obstacles are not designed to detour us or to derail us. Rather, obstacles are to grow us. They're to grow us. And we find that the children of Israel, they face this obstacle at the end of chapter 15. We mentioned about the manna this morning in chapter number 16, and you understand what happens there. And we come to the 17th chapter after they had gone through and they've understood this the provision of God through the manna. They've seen God heal the waters there at Marah. We find that the Bible tells us in chapter number 17, beginning in verse number 1, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. If you're taking notes this evening, I've simply entitled the message, Pitched in Rephidim. They pitched in Rephidim. And that's the place where we find in verse number 1, the Bible tells us the place in which they would set up camp. They pitched in Rephidim. Now, I want you to understand that as we look at this passage, and we'll look at the first seven verses of Exodus chapter number 17, I want you to understand, number 1, the circumstances that are provided. God provides us with some circumstances right away in verse number 1. And as we look at these circumstances, we find that it's interesting to know that the Bible tells us that the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys. Notice this next phrase right in the middle of verse number 1, according to the commandment of the Lord. I want you to understand that it was not Moses that just all of a sudden decided, we're going to pick up camp and we're going to move. It was not that they were following the leadership of Moses exclusively. No, it was not the idea of some group of people, some group that came up with this idea, and this committee decided that we're going to move forward and we're going to go over here and we're going to relocate. No, the Bible tells us that they went according to the commandment of the Lord. According to the commandment of the Lord. They were obedient. They were, as we mentioned in chapter number 14, that command of go forward. And now we find that they're going and they're obeying. They're following the leadership of God. And the Bible tells us at the end of verse number 1 that they went according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And it says this, and there was no water for the people to drink. Now, this is a problem. The congregation of the children of Israel is a large congregation. It's not a small group of people, as I mentioned this morning. It's not just a handful of people that were crossing that Red Sea. Really, the estimates that are given are nearly 2 million people that would have crossed over and that are being, of course, traveling at this point. You find that they come to a place and they pitch in this place, Rephidim, and there's no water for the people to drink. Now, let me ask you this question. Does God know that we need water? Sure He does. He created us, right? God knows that we need water. He knows that it is a basic necessity for mankind, for human beings to survive. It is necessary that we have water. You can live longer without food than you can live without water. It is a scientific, medical proven fact. We need water. In fact, there are times in which we understand as we've lived and as we've experienced life at certain levels and doing various activities, that there are times in which we can become dehydrated. I'm not sure about you, but I know of me. If I'm doing something and I get to the place where I become dehydrated or even on the edge of becoming dehydrated, I can feel that I need water. I love sweet tea, but there are times that I just need water. God knows that we need water. And He created us, but we find that when we consider the circumstances here in verse number 1 and really get the backdrop to what's taking place, that it is God that has led them here. They're there in that place according to the commandment of the Lord. Now, I mentioned this morning, and I understand that there's this misconception that many have, that if we're obedient to God, if we live by faith, if we go forward as He's commanded us to do so, that we're not going to have any problems. Then everything's just going to be perfect. Well, they're in this place according to the commandment of the Lord, and there's no water. God knows that they need water. I want you to notice not only the circumstances, but notice number 2, if you're taking notes, the complaint of the people. In verses 2 and 3, we read of the complaint, the murmuring of the people of Israel. It's one thing that they were consistently good at, was complaining. Not much has changed in thousands of years of human history, for the reality is that it's very easy for us as human beings to complain about our circumstances. It's very easy for us to look at the negative aspect of the circumstances in which we deal with, and thus I believe it's so often throughout the Word of God that we are given the instruction to rejoice evermore, to be thankful, to give thanks in all things, because the reality is that it is easy to complain. In verses 2 and 3, God records for us the complaint of the people. Notice in verse number 2, the Bible says, "Wherefore the people did chide with Moses." That word chide is an interesting word. It means to contend or to argue with. And look at what they said, "Give us water that we may drink." Can you imagine? Can you imagine being Moses and having this large group of people, nearly 2 million in size, and you follow the direction of God, you're in the place where God has led you to be, and you're there and there's no water, and the people now come and they're contending, they're chiding with you, they're arguing with you, and they say, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" The people thirsted there for water. The Bible says in verse number 3, "And the people murmured against Moses." To murmur means to grumble or to complain. They're complaining about their circumstances. They said this at the end of verse number 3, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" Man, aren't they so negative? Isn't it easy for us when we face adversity, when we face obstacles, when we face these types of circumstances to just become super negative? And think about all that they had experienced. Think about all that they've witnessed and they've seen the hand of God. Think about the message that I preached this morning about the crossing of the Red Sea and the miraculous power of God that was displayed that these people saw firsthand. Think about the time when they first, after crossing the Red Sea, are at the place of Marah and there's bitter waters and God heals the waters and they're able to drink. And think about the manna that they had to eat for breakfast that day, to have as nourishment for that day. They'd seen God work, but they're thirsty. And they chide, and they murmur. They were disappointed with their circumstances. And I would say this, their prior experience had not built their faith. I wish I could read Exodus 17, and I understand that often as we look back, even in our own lives, but especially in the lives of others, that it's very easy for us to say, man, if they would have done this, or if they would have done that, and we can do that in our own lives, and we can look back at circumstances. They say that hindsight is 20/20, and obviously, when we look back and we say, man, if I would have just trusted here, if I would have had this perspective, but wouldn't it have been interesting if we could read Exodus 17 and read of the people, how that they just kind of got together and said, I wonder how God's going to work in this situation. I mean, do you remember what God did just a few days ago when we crossed over the Red Sea? Do you remember how God blessed and how He worked and provided that water? He healed those bitter waters. Do you remember that manna that we've been enjoying? I mean, what is God going to do? How is God going to work? We don't know what He's going to do, but we know that there's no water, and we know that God made us. He formed us. He knows what our needs are. He knows that we need water. And how is God going to provide? What is God going to do? And have some measure of excitement and anticipation and expectation of seeing God work. Unfortunately, we don't read it that way. We read it just as I read it a few moments ago. They chide. They murmur, they grumble, and they complain. Why have you brought us out of Egypt? Why have you done this? And I can almost see Moses as he's receiving the chiding and the murmuring as the people are angered and disappointed and they're thirsty, that Moses is almost beside himself. I mean, what am I saying? It's God that brought us here. Did you not see the pillar? Right? Can you imagine? This pillar of cloud by day, this pillar of fire by night. I mean, when it moves, we move. When it stops, we stop. Right? And here, the people, I believe that it's so representative of human nature throughout human history. It's easy for us to criticize the children of Israel. It's easy for us to critique their lack of faith and their lack of expectation, their lack of trust in God. It's easy for us to criticize and to critique. It's easy for us to say, if they would have, and why didn't they? But the reality is that if we would just evaluate our lives with the same level of standard that we evaluate the children of Israel, we'd find that we too fall short. We too fail to trust God when we should. We too murmur and complain and get disappointed with our circumstances and fail to have our faith increased by prior experiences. The circumstances, the complaint, notice as we continue through the passage of Scripture in verse number 4, number 3, if you're taking notes, I want you to note the cry of Moses. I love the response of Moses here in verse number 4, by the way. And what a proper response this is. The Bible says, "And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." These people are upset. They're angry. They're ready to kill Moses because of their circumstances. And we read the cry of Moses. We read where the Bible says that Moses cried unto the Lord. What a great response when the people are chiding with him, when the people are murmuring against him, that Moses goes to God. Moses understood that it was God that had provided the direction. Moses understood that he was simply following the leadership that God had provided. Moses understood that God had taken care of them and God had provided for them, and God had worked miraculously, and there were some things that Moses had learned about God and what He's capable of doing. And so the response of Moses is here in verse number 4. It's the cry of Moses. We understand that he's the human leader of the children of Israel at this particular time, and what a great lesson for leadership and the dependence of the leader, the spiritual leader, the dependence upon God. We speak about leadership and we think about spiritual leadership. I do not believe that it would be inappropriate for us to make application this evening, not only as we would think about the leadership of Moses with the children of Israel, but perhaps as we look at the leadership of a pastor in a church family, and God has given a certain responsibility to the pastor as the under-shepherd and to provide leadership and direction as I seek to follow God and to provide that vision and that leadership, and how desperately I need God. But let's take it a step further and think about the families, because the reality is that a church, a strong church, is made up of strong families. And God has given the responsibility to the husband to be the leader of the home. And as we think about the leadership that God desires for men to provide in the home, we find that it's absolutely essential that men would be dependent upon God. And that we'd understand that we have to follow God as we lead our families. That we'd understand that this is a difficulty and that there are challenges and there are obstacles, and I need the leadership and the direction that God would provide, and oh, that we'd cry out unto the Lord. The cry of Moses. I believe that his response to the events that are taking place are exemplary. I believe that they're appropriate. I love that he seeks God and he says, "What shall I do unto this people? What should I do?" I love the fact that Moses cries out unto the Lord, because it's then that we receive the response that God provides. How often do we fail to get instruction from God because we simply don't ask him? How often do we falter and fail and flounder around because we don't have wisdom that we need? But yet God said, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And yet there are times in our lives where we simply fail to ask, and therefore we don't receive. You have not because you ask not. God wants to provide direction for our lives. He wants to give answers. He wants to provide leadership. And we find that the truth of verse number 4 is so impactful in our lives, because he's crying unto the Lord and we see the cry. But we find the great impact that this response of Moses has, because it's then that we come to verse number 5, and the Bible says that the Lord said unto Moses. We see number 4, if you're taking notes, number 4 this evening, the command of the Lord. The command. I want you to notice that verse number 5 is the result of verse number 4. The command is the result of the cry. Because Moses cries out unto the Lord, because Moses says, "What shall I do unto this people?" Moses is acknowledging his lack of understanding with what to do and how to operate and how to function. He's acknowledging to God that, "I need you, I need your wisdom, I need your direction." And we find that God responds, and how thankful we are this evening that our God hears and answers prayer. That we can cry unto him and we can have confidence that he hears us, and we can have confidence that he answers. And the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses." Notice the command in verse 5, as we would think about the response and God giving Moses the direction. The Bible says, "Go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go." As I read verse number 5, I recognize some specific aspects of what God tells Moses to do. He tells Moses to go on before the people. He tells them, however, to take with thee of the elders of Israel. And so Moses was not to go by himself. There are to be some people with him, some of the elders of Israel. And you find that he tells them, God says, you know, take these elders, but also that rod, the rod that you smote the river with, take that in thine hand and go. Go where? Notice verse 6, the command continues. He says this, "Behold," God speaking, the Lord speaking to Moses. He says, "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink." This is not an unfamiliar passage of Scripture. We are familiar with the account. We know what takes place, many of us. God says, "Go on before the people. Take the elders of Israel with you. take your rod with you. I'm going to go before you and I'm going to stand on a rock in Horeb. And with that rod, you should smite the rock, and out of that rock will come water that the people would drink. Can you imagine? The command, the instruction, the direction. Moses says, Lord, what do I do? The people are ready to stone me. God knows that the people need water. The people are very disappointed with their circumstances. They've complained and they've murmured. They've chided with Moses. And they feel like they're going to die. You brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst. This was the purpose of our journey. This is why we left. And Moses says, God, I don't know what to do. And God says, here's what to do. And he gives him a command. Now, we stopped right in the middle of verse number 6, and we'll finish it up here in just a moment. But I want you to think about the situation. And if you can, just for a moment, put yourself in the shoes of Moses. I've sought to explain the passage as best I can, so that in our sanctified imaginations we can be there and we can see the circumstances and we can understand what's taking place. And Moses to go on before the people and take the elders and his rod, and God's going to go to a rock in Horeb and he's going to smite that rock and there's going to be water that comes out. And I want you to think just for a moment of these circumstances, and I want you to think about the command of God. And I want you to think about the message that I preached this morning of go forward. And there are times, as I mentioned this morning in our third point, what hinders us from going forward. See, Moses had been given some direction of God to go on before the people. And Moses would have to go how? By faith. He'd have to go why? Out of obedience, right? It's God that told him. It wasn't Moses that just came up with this idea that I'm going to go smite some rock and water's going to come out of it. No, why did he go do what he did? He went because he was obeying God. How did he go? He had to go in faith. I don't know of any other record prior to this where a rod had smitten a rock and water came out of it to take care of the thirst of nearly 2 million people. God didn't say, Moses, I'm going to take you to another body of water, and just as I healed waters back in Marah, I'll heal those waters so you can drink them. God didn't tell him that. And I want you to just put yourself in the shoes of Moses just for a moment. And I want you to ask yourself the question, would you go? Would you go? Would you be obedient to God to go on before the people with the elders, with the rod, to the rock where God would stand and smite that rock and water come out? Would you go? Would you obey? Would you have the faith to trust that God would do what God said He would do? Because every time God gives a command, there's a decision that has to be made. A decision has to be made. We can obey the command, or we can disobey the command. Right? Any command. We find that there are consequences of our decision. The decision to obey leads typically to blessing, as we read in Deuteronomy 11. The decision to disobey leads to cursing, again, as we read in Deuteronomy 11. We see it in our own lives and in parenting with children. We tell Johnny or Susie to do such and such, and we give them instruction and direction, and they say, I'm not going to do it. Really? Let me help you make a better decision. But when we think about this situation with Moses, the command has been given. Moses, go on before the people. Take the elders. take your rod. I'm going to go before you. I'll stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And Moses, you should smite the rock and water will come out that the people may drink. What's Moses going to do? We know what he does. It's recorded history and it's an event that took place thousands of years ago. But I wonder if just for a moment this evening we can put ourselves into the account. Or maybe we just put ourselves into some daily obedience to God. When God gives us direction, and even as we mentioned this morning about the marching orders for the church, that His last command before His ascension continues to be the mission of the church. When God, through His Spirit, prompts us to talk to that person, to give that person a gospel tract, to be that witness, how do we respond? What do we do? As we look at the command of the Lord in verses 5 and part of verse number 6, we must pause and consider how it is that we too would respond. What if we were in that situation? What if I were Moses? What if you were Moses? As we conclude this evening and finish up verse 6 and look at verse 7, number 5, if you're taking notes, I want you to see the confidence of Moses. I want you to see the confidence of Moses. The last phrase of verse number 6 is so impactful to me. It's convicting to me. Such a great testimony for this man, Moses. The Bible simply says this, and Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He did so. He obeyed. I believe that he obeyed because his confidence, and thus the point, the confidence of Moses, he was confident, he had faith, that God would do what God said He would do. He believed that God would give that water, that as He went on before the people and He took the elders and they said, where are we going? And I don't know that they said that, but just for a moment, if we could put ourselves within the account and understand the circumstances. And he goes, Moses, what are you doing? Moses, why are we going? Moses, what are you doing? And Moses says, I believe God, this is how He's going to provide. And he goes to that rock and he smites the rock. Can you imagine when the water gushed out? It simply says, and Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. I'm challenged by the fact that it says that he did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. We understand that that's at the command of God, according to verse number 5. But no doubt there are times in which perhaps we would say, well, let me just do this kind of in privacy in case maybe it doesn't work out right. That way I'm not embarrassed. No. Moses had confidence. Moses just simply believed that God would do what God said He would do. And here, the Bible tells us in verse number 7, and he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? And we find that here in verse number 6, when he did what God told him to do, that the Bible tells us that God would provide water. He said, when you smite the rock, that there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. God provided miraculously. The confidence of Moses. Moses had never witnessed this specific miracle. To the best of our knowledge, as we study Scripture, he'd seen God part waters. He'd seen God heal waters. To the best of our knowledge, he had never seen God provide water out of a rock. But he believed God. He had confidence in God. He had witnessed the hand of God. He had observed the moving of God many times in his life. And therefore, he believed that God could do it. I believe that he's fully confident, he's fully persuaded that God is able. And this evening, as we think about our own lives, as we think about the truth of living in this time, in this place, we think about the obstacles and the difficulties in which we face. How is it that we deal with those obstacles and those difficulties? Are we in the place of God? Are we doing what God's commanded us to do? Are we following the direction of God? And if we are, we understand that there are times in, that we'll face obstacles. But remember, those obstacles are not designed to detour us or to derail us. Those obstacles are designed to grow us and to develop us. And we find that there are times in which we are following the Lord exactly as He's given us the direction, exactly as He's provided us the command, and we're doing exactly what God wants us to do. And there are obstacles. We're going forward, but there are challenges. There's opposition. The obstacles are there. The hindrances are there. But we've made that determination. We are resolved that we will go forward at the command of the Lord, and that we will have confidence in our God, that He is able, that we are obeying Him and we are taking Him at His word. We are living by faith. That's what faith is, just believing God. Believing that God will do what God said He would do. And I find that as we live in this time, in this era, in our own lives, as we think about the circumstances of the children of Israel as they're described to us here in this passage of Scripture, and as we would examine and deal with our own lives, we could respond the way that the children of Israel do, and we could just sit around and complain and murmur and chide with and be disappointed with and give all sorts of reasons and explanations as to why we can't, why we shouldn't, and so on and so forth. I'm thankful that Moses cried out unto the Lord. And I'm thankful that God answered. Oh, that we'd seek the face of God. God, how do we navigate these times? We're living in days of difficulty and days of obstacles and challenges, and we can't quite do the things that we used to do. We have these obstacles in God. How do we go forward? How do we reach people? How do we interact with people? We're to reach a lost and dying world, and we understand that we have been given the glorious message of the gospel, the greatest message that could ever be given, and we've been entrusted with that message. And it's not that we would hold it and keep it to ourselves, but that we'd give it to a lost and dying world. We say, but there are obstacles. I know that you go out just as I go out, and people are less interested in talking than they ever have been. People are fearful. They want to back away. They don't get too close, and so on and so forth. We've got to reach them. We've got to reach them. We've got to go forward. And we got to pray and ask God, God, what do we do? How do we reach a community, a city, a country, a world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? How do we do it? Remember, as we read this morning in Matthew 28, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. And as we read the command of the commission to preach the gospel, to baptize, and to disciple, He says this, and lo, I am with thee always. I'm so thankful that He promises to be with us, to give us the strength, the wisdom, the direction that we need. And because Moses cried out unto the Lord, God gave him the answer. Here you go, Moses. Here's how we're going to provide water for all these people. Here's how I'm going to provide water for all these people. And Moses, I'm going to use you. Go over here. Do this, and I'll do this. And Moses went, and God did. Isn't that exciting? This evening, they pitched in Rephidim. They went at the commandment of the Lord. They obeyed God. They were not in the wrong place. They were where they were supposed to be. But there was no water. And God said, through this obstacle, I'm going to prove my power again to once again seek to develop you, to grow you through this time of difficulty. I don't know what obstacle you face personally. I don't know what difficulty you're facing, but I know that God is able. And I know that God continues to work in this manner, for often we find even in the New Testament, the last Sunday school lesson that we had a couple of weeks ago, Jesus tells the disciples to go on the ship and go to the other side. It was there that they faced a terrible storm. But it was there that they got to see the power of God. What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey? He's God. He's God. And He wants to work in and through us. There never would have been water that came from the rock if Moses had not cried out unto the Lord and if Moses had not obeyed the Lord. I'm thankful that Moses, he cried out, and then I'm thankful that he obeyed. Because we get to read an account such as this and rejoice. Say, man, this is wonderful. Look at what God did. But how do we apply it in our lives? Oh, that we'd trust God and that we'd follow Him and that we'd see Him work mightily. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. As we look at this passage of Scripture this evening, we're encouraged to be reminded of Your power. God, we're challenged as we review and examine our own lives to consider the level of obedience that we have, the level of faith that we have in trusting You and following You. I pray, God, that You'd help us to go forward. And at the first sign of trouble, that we would not retreat, that we would not chide and murmur, but God, that we'd trust You with great levels of anticipation and expectation. We would long to see You work, to see what and how You will do what only You can do. Would You help us to go forward? Because You've commanded us to. It's a matter of obedience. Help us to go forward in faith. Help us to see You work as only You can. We pray that in these few moments of invitation that You'd have Your will and way, that Your Spirit would move in the hearts of those that are gathered locally and those that have tuned in on this service tonight. That God, we'd be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Well, thank You for the work that You'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would You stand with